to the saints, in the patience and faith of Jesus Christ, I greet you all. Isaiah 66:18. For I know their works and their thoughts, for it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. It's starting to rain pretty hard now. Fire's coming down pretty good. It's just warming up, saints. It's impossible to deny the worldwide panic and frustration, the anger, the confusion, the perplexity, the despair swirling through the nations of humanity cast down on the earth, out of the hand of the God of heaven and earth, I might add. We don't need the soulless wolf babble from every dark, deluded corner of the minds and deceived hearts of present-day self-proclaimed prophets. Thank you. But the saints of the living God have his most holy spirit. It beats radio, TV, internet, iPhones, by light years. Thank you, Father. Frankly, I have so had it. The saints' world is not of this world. It's circuits, institutions, newest innovations of amusement, deadly scientific marvels, or the like. Look what we can build. We do not sing their praises, nor do we swallow their vain bravado on how we will beat this and prosper financially and then head to our favorite creature comfort spots and sports stadiums, bars and restaurants, etc. You kidding? That's life, huh? Okay. Exodus 9:14 was not just for the Egypt of the time. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Are the inhabitants of the earth today paying any mind to their plight, or to the one who is shaking the earth? That plight, mind you, being brought upon them by the Lord. Well, I can't say anybody's paying attention. Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. It may seem to some of us, including me, that waiting thousands of years for the great wake-up call is a bit much to be patient for. Our lives are so short. It reminds me of a song title from years past, I Never Thought I'd Live to Be a Million. It's funny when we think back through all of history, noticing that it repeats itself and there's nothing new under the sun. We can't help but notice that looking back through the ages takes such a short time. Also, we realize that the godlike leopard, which is mankind, hasn't changed its spots. Sadly, man is a god to himself, still. But back to the path here. After studying our scriptures, we find that the majority of the prophets of the nation of Israel prophesied to Israel, about Israel, and their quite constant rebellion. Repentance has always been for God's holy nation, as it is now with his holy spiritual nation, his saints, through Christ. Repent or perish? The world itself has never been admonished to repent. Where's that in Scripture? If we remember Jesus' prayer in John 17, he said, I pray not for the world. And when the Son of God ain't praying for the world, that's a big deal. And he's our example. We pray for each other, his nation. And consequently, why then do our so-called preachers and teachers remain committed to saving the world or calling the ungodly to repentance? Heck knows, brethren. Heck knows. That ain't scriptural. As we search and read very carefully, we come upon declarations of God himself pertaining to the end. Since scripture declares through John that we are in the last days, even back then, and certainly now, we know that the evidence of a world going mad, a systematic decay and breakdown of this present world is smack dab in our faces. It is finally and completely global. So we remain patient, right? And quiet, right? And confident, right? The spiritual and literal land of Egypt, or Babylon, is rightly being smitten. Our hotshot gods of science still cannot make out head or tails and are constantly having to change their educated assumptions. And we're soon to reopen society and the economy, and it will take off like a rocket. Uh-huh. Sure. Even more chaos. Remember Exodus 12:13? And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now that type and shadow of the blood of Christ upon his saints, in the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm, while we yet walk the paths of the earth, this speaks of his called out assembly in their quasi-literal and more importantly spiritual Goshens. Paul says in Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Which death? COVID? Famine? Pestilence? Murder? You know? No. We have a greater joy now, way beyond this body of death and this life in the shadow of death. That joy and hope is what the saints subsist on, lean on, and rest in. Even Jesus Christ. Amen. Come out with me around the back of the barn and let me talk a little more about the specifics we face today. You comfortable on that bale of hay? Good. The world has been under slow and inexorable judgment for decades now. Take stock in what you see out there, saints. But don't let it become a preoccupation. Mentally list the nuts and bolts of the dismantling of this present worldly and societal paradigm for yourselves. I know it's the world, but it's all around us and gunning for our souls. So without further ado, watch that cow behind you. With a solar minimum affecting our planet and its magnetic field, seasons are all screwed up. Our fields lie mostly in mire, unplantable, or frozen stiff, or burnt to a crisp. Countries export less and yet face famines of their own. Wars and conflicts still continue. This nation and others are about to blow up. The threat of civil unrest, which is awakening, is putting it too lightly. Nation against nation, brother against brother, survival of the fittest. When people are hungry, no one is safe. And the whack jobs out there? It takes the civil right out of civilization. Our immune systems are pretty much shot as a consequence of our intellicrops and nutrient-deficient soil and pollution, etc. Nice job, Father. We ain't gonna get a handle on your judgment. Now, volcanic and earthquake activity has reached concerning levels. We have two nuclear accidents still ongoing, one of which has and is poisoning the Pacific. Current estimates say a third of our oceans are polluted, or glowing. That sounds scriptural to you? Not to mention we've run out of disposal capacity for our existing nuclear and chemical waste. Boy, what price progress, huh? Our waters across the planet, for the most part, are what Scripture calls bitter, undrinkable. The sky may be bluer, but all the better to watch for what Father will send from them, none of which will be good, on my accounting. Our facade of prosperity, wealth, and goodness hides true waste and depravity. The hearts and minds of most of this generation are corrupted and asleep and without compassion or love. You know, gimme, gimme, gimme. I, me, my. So what's clean anymore? What's safe anymore? What's sane anymore? Who could we trust? Yeah, the same leopard, the same mankind. With one caveat. Slow and inexorable as it seems, judgment and a reckoning has come. This may not be the advent of the return of our Christ, but at least it's a sure sign that this is not the same world anymore, and it's changing radically. It did after the Black Plague, it did after Napoleon, it did after World War I and II, and you know what I mean. I can't ever presume to think or say that this is it, but as every day passes, that presumption and the facts themselves tempt me to lean closer to the thought that we may be further along than any of us think. I kind of been saying that, kind of rubbing the prophets the wrong way, you know. They all ain't getting their water from the same well. But basically, we've run out of room on the planet. All the world is immersed in stress and perplexity, as Jesus stated. Thus the beginning of sorrows. We ain't seen nothing yet. Mankind has always opened the door for the results of his pride and avarice to prosper against him. Yep. And the bill has come due as far as I'm concerned. So much for behind the barn talk. Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Father asked Jeremiah the above question. He asks the same of each of us. Am I a God at hand and not a God far off? If that question still be so with all of us, then let's take comfort in his words to those few who loved and feared him when the physical nation of Israel existed. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Jeremiah 42:11. Doesn't Father's love and kind protection yet apply to his saints, his spiritual house, in the midst of this maelstrom of madness visiting upon mankind? God changes not. Take heart. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 33:8. This is a great declaration and prayer of David. But we know the inhabitants of this world are far too distracted with themselves and their precious paradigms to give one thought to the presence or glory of God who is rising up to the prey. God's saints, called out of the world to his precious Son and Savior Jesus, do fear him in love and reverence. Paul made no exception, such as the turmoil we face right now, when he declared, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That happens to be a command of Jesus, saints. It's starting to rain. It's raining the coals of wrath even harder now. Of that I am convinced. If any of us are ordained to remain alive on this earth, we may find this scourge past, and another fiendish paradigm will have been established. I can't say. I don't know the mind of God, and I'm not a prophet. But let the condemnation of our prophets continue to stand, so be it. With the Lord, a day is like unto 1,000 years. How many thousands of years have passed since Jesus went home? How many more to endure as his saints? How many? Don't know. The reign of wrath is upon the world, brethren. Science and economics hold no candle to the spirit. God searches the innermost parts of man's belly, saints. That is the soul spirit of man. It conquers nothing. It kills. It is blindly suicidal. So before I wrap up, I got a slight correction for you. In digging deeper into some of the translations of Paul's letter to Timothy, a word in the proper Greek popped out when searching 2 Timothy 3:1. The scripture states, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Well, the word perilous was chosen by the translators, and no slight upon them. Except the deeper translation of the word in the Greek is savage. Savage. That's like right up front. And I believe this is a more relevant translation. The word savage describes what we see and experience in a much more descriptive and direct way. So much for that. In closing, pray that we may be delivered from insane, unreasonable, and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's a great benediction of Paul. Definitely applicable today. I keep the true body of Christ in my prayers and in my thoughts. You get your shields up, eyes front, and do keep to the road. And I'll see you again if God is willing and the cricks don't rise. Amen.